With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Here we go again. Oh, I could start singing some Whitesnake right now, but it would be quite the auspicious way to start another work week, and it might send you running for the hills, so I won't. But that's what popped into my brain. Here I go again on my own, going down the only road I've ever known. I'm so dorky. But I do have random music lines that get stuck in my head, so there's that. Hope you had a great weekend. It's actually nice to come back to work on a Sunday night after a weekend of R&R. I desperately needed the sleep. It was a bad week of sleep last week, and so the weekend, I did a bunch of sleeping, and it was beautiful, and I am not sorry for it. I also did a bunch of cleaning, which I needed to do, and spent some time with my zoo. Did you know it was National Love Your Pet Day on Sunday? I kind of feel like if you're a pet owner, you get this. You have to love your pets every day because they're challenging sometimes. So let's just not pick one day on the calendar where we love our pets. Definitely some days are easier than others. You know, the days where they're not waking me up before the crack of dawn because it's almost time to eat and they want to be sure I don't miss it. Or when the dog, this is what's happening lately with Penny. She's refusing to come inside because she's having too much fun playing in the snow. So I go inside, I get stuff done. I come back and check on her every few minutes. Nope, she's standing out there having a grand old time in the snow and thinks it's the greatest thing ever. And so, yeah, I have a large hair missile who refuses to come inside now because snow is way cooler than anything that I could possibly offer indoors. So National Love Your Pet Day, and I did share side-by-side photos on Twitter of my two lovely babies. Actually, they're both old ladies now. Sugar is about to be 12. You would not know it, though. This cat is never going to die. This cat is going to be 40. I'm just telling you right now. She's almost 12, and she still can jump on every single piece of furniture I have, which is annoying as all get out. And she is annoying as all get out. And I think my dog sleeps more than she does. So she is about to be 12. She'll be 12 next month. And Penny is a little older, a little over 11. So she still has a ways to go before she's 12. So I'm not sure they're babies anymore. They're my babies, of course, but they're definitely turning into old ladies. We're getting old together at my house. I hope you had a good weekend with your babies, whether they are the human kind or whether they are the furry kind. At least the human kind don't shed. I do not know how my dog could still have hair on her body, and yet I could spend 24 hours a day picking up her hair all over the house. So I spent some quality time with my vacuum this weekend, but I digress. I hope it was an enjoyable weekend for you. I have a couple of reports to offer. One is a movie review and another about what I did on Saturday night, which was fun. And so it's good to have you, good to reconvene and set our sights forward on the next weekend. I'm just kidding. No. We love our jobs as well, even when they're more a labor of love than they are just fun. You do it long enough, and I suppose those two lines get blurred. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So you can find me on Twitter and my pets, Sugar and Penny. Those are their names. You can find them A-Law Radio. And once we get to the break, I'll put them on our Facebook page as well. I was talking to my brother, speaking of getting older, I was talking to my brother on Sunday. Apparently he needed to talk because he called me and blabbed my ear off for an hour and 20 minutes. This is my brother. He had to give me a blow-by-blow of his recent jaunt to Florida. He had to talk about movies. He had to talk about food. He wanted to tell me all about this new podcast he found. Oh my goodness. I tried to interject every now and then, but he wasn't having it. He just needed to, he was a motor mouth on Sunday. So I wonder sometimes if that's what you think about me. Have you noticed we're like 5 minutes into the show and I find myself extremely amusing already? That's what happens when you get plenty of sleep. So speaking of getting older, I was on the phone with my brother on Sunday and we were talking about my Grammy. So Grammy Helen is getting ready to leave the rehab center. She's doing really well. She's met all the check marks that they have to get through in her rehab. And she has a trial run back in her apartment on Tuesday. And she had said she told me she was a little nervous. I talked to her on Saturday. She told me she was a little nervous, but they are sending someone from the rehab center to sit with her for most of Tuesday, just in case she needs some help. But this is the next big step for her to go back to being independent again after she broke a bone in her pelvis. So it's a big step for her, and I'm really excited. And my brother and I were talking about it. I was giving him the update on Grammy Helen. And he said, well, what can you expect? Because she had told me she had good days and bad days. And I said that to Matthew. And he's like, well, what do you expect? She's 98. And I said, actually, she is 6 weeks away from being 99. What? What? She is my superhero. 6 weeks away from being 99. And the year she's had, a year from hell, really, she is just chugging along like nobody's business. So we're going to Skype with her at some point over the next 6 weeks. And I'm gonna snap a photo and then, of course, covertly share it as we get closer to her birthday. She would get so mad at me if she knew I was sharing photos of her on social media. So we just won't tell her. So you can check out Twitter and then also our Facebook page. I'll put the pets up, the pet portraits for National Love Your Pet Day. And you know how much I enjoy when you share your pet photos with me. So do it. Easy to do. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It was a busy weekend in sports, a precursor to what's to come this spring. Spring. I know in a lot of places in the country, there were much warmer temperatures on Saturday and Sunday. So in the South, in the Midwest, in the Southwest, where they'd had some snow and some unexpected winter weather, it was nice that they had some warm-ups, temps in the 50s and 60s, and someplace even in the 70s, to allow you all to see the snow and the ice melt and kind of recover from what was some unexpected winter weather. Well, in my neighborhood, it was already 19 degrees when I left for work, but whatever. The snow's never melting. So instead, I talk about spring sports because that keeps me optimistic. And so there's a lot on the horizon, and it was kind of a busy weekend running up to what's to come. We've got some pretty interesting comments from one Clayton Kershaw about his future. Now he's got 1 year left on his contract with the Dodgers, and he created a stir, an Aaron Rodgers-like stir, if you will, in his comments about whether or not he would continue to play after this season. He's 33 or about to be 33, obviously coming off the first World Series title that he so desperately worked for and sacrificed for, and he was really the sentimental favorite and the one that so many of the guys talked about, even Dave Roberts, after the Dodgers won the World Series back in October. So you'll hear from Clayton Kershaw, his first comments post-World Series, or his World Series media availability, as he was joining his teammates at spring training. Also, Corey Kluber doesn't want the Yankees rotation to be Garrett Cole and the rest of us. So but he's very complimentary of Garrett Cole, but interesting to hear from him, as you've got a very legit previous ace for his own team now joining the Yankees rotation, and Steven Strasburg, who only made two starts in that shortened 2020 season, says he is raring to go. And for you Nationals fans, you'll remember, of course, that he was the 2019 World Series MVP. We still have fallout and reaction from the Carson Wentz, I don't want to call it a rumor, the Carson Wentz report that he'll be traded to Indianapolis, the agreement that's in place. And Carson himself came out and used social media to finally make some public comments. It had been a long time since we'd heard anything from Carson Wentz. We also had the Australian Open crown both its men and women's champions over the weekend. And certainly there is a new queen on the circuit in women's tennis, and she is fit for the crown. Not only does she have her fourth Grand Slam title, but Naomi Osaka is unassuming. She's authentic. She's funny and she's sweet, except for when she's on the court. But she's also open and honest. And I like the fact that she doesn't try to be something she's not. She doesn't put on airs. That's kind of something out of Victorian England. But she's really authentic and someone that I think fans can identify with and relate with. And so she wins her fourth Grand Slam title, her second Australian Open. Meanwhile, Novak Djokovic is a freight train on hard court, specifically at the Australian Open in Melbourne, where he's won three consecutive Aussie titles and nearly time to start talking about what was previously unthinkable, that he may very well catch up and pass Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal in terms of total career Grand Slam singles titles. For a long time, it looked as though Roger Federer would set a mark that would be unbeaten. And then Rafael Nadal dominates the French Open so many times. In fact, he might retire with more French Open titles than what Roger Federer has total, for heaven's sakes. But the two of them are a little bit older. Federer is 6.5 years older than Novak. I think Rafa is 2 or 3 years older than Djokovic, but his body has gone through the ringer. Rafa plays so hard, and he's had so many injuries that have slowed him down a little bit. But now Novak has 18 total Grand Slams, 9 of them coming at the Australian Open. So half of his Grand Slam titles have come in Melbourne, and he's only 2 shy of the pace set by Federer and Nadal. Roger and Rafa. A lot of people talked about Novak when he first started out and how he had the kind of game that could make him a challenge to both Roger and Rafa in terms of total Grand Slams, but Federer kept racking him up and Rafa kept winning French Opens, and now there are just 2 titles that separate them. And with the health issues of Federer, we don't know if he'll have another opportunity to win. Well, he'll have another chance, but will he be able to close it out? I wouldn't say it's as drastic as the injuries that plague Tiger Woods and the injury history that plagues Tiger, but there's a lot of mileage on Federer's body too, and he's very choosy now about which tournaments he competes in. But he's had routine knee injuries, as you can imagine. And then you think of Rafa. His favorite surface is the clay, of course. And so he'll always be a competitor at the French. But these two guys are getting older, and you now have a younger generation of tennis. Same phenomenon as what Serena Williams is dealing with. She still has so much power, and she still has a game that fits all surfaces. Extremely athletic, so knowledgeable, lots of wisdom and experience. And she also can dominate in stretches. But there are younger players who are coming up, like Naomi Osaka told us, watching Serena Williams, watching Roger Federer, watching Tiger Woods, and they're all coming. They're all coming for you. They want to beat you because to them, that's almost the pinnacle of a career, at least in their current perspective, right? Young players, young athletes, well, the same as, say, young NBA players who have stars in their eyes when they face LeBron James. It is the nature of the beast in professional sports. You set a bar really high, you become an idol to younger athletes, and then they all just want to beat you. And they're coming at you with more energy, fresher, healthier bodies, quicker recovery time, and the ability to go for days, a motor that doesn't end. It's the cycle of life in professional sports. So there's a lot to talk about from the weekend, of course, and Lake Tahoe. She was all decked out in her glory. And I understand that the sun, the glare of the bright sun on the ice, not only was it off the snow there in Lake Tahoe, for those of you who are familiar with how it works, I mean, when there's snow on the ground and there's sunshine, it's a double whammy because you've got a glare coming from above and a glare coming from the ground level. And they were right on the water as well, which also offers different light patterns. And so they get through the first period, the Avalanche and the Golden Knights on Saturday, and I was loving it. It was so pretty. And the ice is nicked up, and they're trying to fix it. But the glare of the sun and the ice conditions just made it impossible to go on. So they delay for 9 hours. Strangest phenomenon. Was it worth it at Lake Tahoe? Well, I think it was, but I wasn't playing there. So you'd have to see, you have to hear from some of the players, some of the athletes. The Bruins had no trouble. They played later on Sunday afternoon, Tahoe time, but of course, Sunday evening, Boston time. And I think it's safe to say David Pastrnak loved the backdrop and the ice there in Tahoe. So it was gorgeous. I've mentioned this before on the show when people ask me, sometimes it's about Ask Amy Anything. Lake Tahoe is on my bucket list. Specifically, parasailing on Lake Tahoe, because I love water sports, and I love to be up high to see the views, and the mountains in the distance, and the water. I just think it would be amazing to parasail on Lake Tahoe. I went parasailing in North Carolina, the Outer Banks, a few years ago, and it was amazing. And so that's my bucket list. But anything to do with Lake Tahoe, even in the wintertime, I wouldn't go parasailing, but I would love to see the mountains snow-capped and breathe in that crisp, clear air. So Tahoe is definitely on the bucket list. It's one that I will check off, along with the Grand Canyon sometime in the next couple of years. I'm determined. Seeing them outdoors in that setting, stunning. Lake Tahoe was stunning. And I like the outdoors games. I think the athletes do too for the most part, but they do come with challenges because you cannot control the sun no matter how hard you try. What did you think of Lake Tahoe and hashtag NHL Outdoors and hashtag National Love Your Pet Day? In that vein, I put up a tweet to share the girls with you in their elements. Sugar right up in my grill. She can never be more than 2 feet away from me. And then Penny, who is obsessed with the snow right now. So check those out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. We'll do our first Man Crush Monday poll of 2020. So we morph from Monday MVP during football season to Man Crush Monday on the weekends after we get through football, right? We're kind of looking at who excelled and who grabbed headlines over the weekend. And so we'll do our first Man Crush Monday of 21. Did I say 20 or 21? Oops. The days all blend together. Not to mention 20 feels like it's going on eternally. And then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, I look forward to hearing from you and seeing your pet pics. Pet pics.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Tatum spins, back to his left, has some room, some separation, as Fallaway is good with 10.5 to go.
Get it into Williamson, Zion, driving at Thompson, driving, throws it up off the glass, and rolls in, and one, ask and ye shall receive from the Smoothie King Center.
6.9 to go, Boston down by two. Tice gets it into Tatum, he gets pushed near half court. He's got it with 4 seconds to go. Tatum moving to his left on Hart. Tatum in the paint, floats it with a right hand up and good with 0.2 seconds to go. Jason Tatum has tied the game.
Inbound to Tatum, letting it roll. Pick it up. He's not even going to dribble it. There's your horn. A well-earned, this one belongs to the Pelicans, Daniel Salerson. Your final score from the Smoothie King Center, New Orleans 120, Boston 115.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The New Orleans Pelicans rally from 24 points down in the third quarter, and Zion Williamson with a huge second half, 24 of his 28, really pouring it on in the fourth quarter. And actually, the Pelicans looked like they might be able to close out the Celtics in regulation. But Jason Tatum with the floater, you hear that on the Celtics radio network with Sean Grandy, and then the back and forth with the Pels radio network. But he ends up with this floater in the lane, got to be the pink shoes, and that sends the game into overtime. But Brandon Ingram was a beast, 33 points in this one, and this is the type of game that's a major confidence boost. And I know that it's kind of the dog days of winter when it comes to the seasons, and there's a lot of NBA teams right now who are scuffling around 500. So the Celtics fall back to 500. They've scuffled away from the road. They've really scuffled altogether. And Kemba Walker's not quite himself, not the guy that we saw close out the playoffs a year ago, or really the guy that they traded for. He's had some injury challenges he's had to deal with. Jason Tatum, of course, went through his bout with COVID and saying that, you know, he's just getting back to the point now where he has near full capacity when it comes to his cardio, but they really do need more help for Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They get a whole lot of nothing off the bench a lot of times. And so for the Celtics, the depth may be an issue. But for the Pelicans, who are below 500, a big victory for them. And it was good to see Zion tearing it up like he does, man. That same athlete we saw at Duke, and he's determined to be in shape, to get in better shape, and to be more effective, and to be able to have extra stamina. But certainly the game that he puts on the court, how much fun it is, how much he enjoys playing the game, that's always a draw. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. The NBA, just a piece of the action this weekend, but we're talking about the NBA. We got to talk about these Brooklyn Nets who right now, despite my misgivings, and when we had our conversation on Thursday night into Friday morning about athletes and coaches you would send to Mars if you could. This was in honor of the Perseverance rover that landed on the surface of Mars 7 months after it took off from our United States airspace. As we're having that conversation, I was pretty honest about the fact that I'd be happy to send both Kyrie Irving and James Harden to Mars. Kyrie, so he could get a lesson in astronomy and what the Earth looks like when you're not actually standing on its surface. And Harden, simply because I'm annoyed still at the way that he forced his way out of Houston. But I got to admit, even when Kevin Durant is not on the court, this team has found a nice groove, and they like playing the small ball when they can.
Kyrie winding it down between the circles now. Veers to the right, picked up by Terrence Mann. Step back, three on the right. In and out, no good. Tip by Jordan, goes down. DeAndre Jordan, the former Clipper, with the tip in with 11 seconds to go as the Nets take a 2-point lead. Timeout, Clippers.
And so they have now won 6 games in a row, 5-0 on this West Coast. And the way that they're coming together, they're playing better defense. I think the 2 games against the LA teams, they held the Lakers to 98 points, though without Anthony Davis and without Dennis Schroeder at the last second. So the Lakers did not have 2 starters. Of course, the Nets didn't have Kevin Durant. But even against the Clippers, it's a back and forth. It's a tight one. Still no Kevin Durant for the Nets, but they actually like to play this smaller ball. And DeAndre Jordan, he came off the bench and he played 32 minutes, but he's not in that starting lineup. So they're going with guys who are more mobile, who can get up and down. Obviously, they like to shoot the 3. Only 38 attempts on this night, though they didn't shoot very well. So maybe there was some temperance in how many they were taking. Other than Jordan not getting much time off the bench either, but they managed to win this affair against the Clippers. You want to talk about not much off the bench? Well, that really describes the Clippers. In fact, they didn't get much in this game outside of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who are really doing all of the heavy lifting. So the Nets have won 6 in a row. They've had a perfect West Coast. But on the minds of James Harden and DeAndre Jordan is trying to help the people in Houston and the surrounding communities who were hit so hard by the storm last week. And so as much as I want to send James Harden to Mars, I suppose it can wait until after he's done helping his former town.
I'm on phone calls literally every day, all day, trying to impact the city because they've shown me so much love and respect in the time that I was there. So I called, you know, Houston home. It's devastating, obviously. You know, this is probably worse than a hurricane just because we don't know how many people are affected.
We've been, you know, doing things, you know, behind the scenes as much as possible. But, you know, just getting resources to, you know, a lot of the people out there, whether, you know, we're there or not, just to be able to help a human being out in a time like this is something that we both value.
Fine. I appreciate their efforts. No, it's great. It's great what they're doing. James Harden calls Houston home. And since my mom currently makes her home in Houston, I appreciate it. And many of you reached out to ask how they're doing. Man, I think it's the time that we lived in New Hampshire, and also mom's husband is from New Hampshire. And so he really prepared the house and drained all the pipes. But so many people that we know have split pipes and pipes burst and they have flooding. I know that I had some friends who flew into Houston on Sunday, and there are still closures at the airports from, you know, various stores or restaurants or even Starbucks who were closed because they don't have water, so running water. So there are a lot of places still that are affected by that phenomena. Mom is really excited because she was able to do laundry, wash dishes, take a shower all on Friday and Saturday and kind of get back to normal. But I know there are a lot of people that have not only cleanup to do, but are trying to figure out how to fix this, you know, this or that on their home and how to get, you know, back to what it was before the storm. The good news is the weather, the temperatures, they were about 40 degrees higher on Saturday and Sunday, and temps were really nice. And so that certainly helps in terms of melting the ice and the snow. But I appreciate what James Harden and DeAndre Jordan are doing, using their platform, their influence, their impact to be able to help people that he doesn't have any responsibility to, but obviously loves those fans there in Houston. So maybe a little bit damage control. They'll try not to be cynical. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, we're going to spend some time in the LA sports market. Clayton Kershaw weighing in on his future and the Lakers. Well, there was supposed to be that load management for LeBron James, but he doesn't really have the opportunity right now. So we'll check in with our man on the scene as we roll through this first hour of the first night of the work week.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm on a year-to-year basis. You know, I want to reevaluate at the end of every year and see how we're doing as a family, myself personally, where we are as a team, and then just make a decision from there. So I have no intentions of hanging them up. You know, I'm only 32, Dave. I feel like I got a few more years left in the tank. I love the Dodgers. I love everything about this organization. And I just feel really fortunate that I've gotten to have as many opportunities I've had to win a World Series, and now that we finally won one, it's just you just don't take that for granted. And I really, really have enjoyed my time here and will continue to do so.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Can't you just hear the smile in Clayton Kershaw's voice? It's a decidedly different approach in spring training when you are the reigning World Series champions and when you're Clayton Kershaw and you finally have that onus off you, that monkey off your back. Man, it feels good. It's got to feel good. Now he's playing with house money, but he reminds you he's only 32. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just getting started. We're sharing pictures of pets. We're talking about what was a busy weekend in really every arena in sports except for the NFL, but it'll happen. Let's just give it some time. I thought it would be a good chance to welcome back our friend Michael Duarte, who covers the LA sports scene, Dodgers, Lakers, Rams, yada, 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 for NBC LA. away. And Michael, they're just getting started. These defending World Series champions, it's a different ring to it for the Dodgers. Now they are on the throne and everyone else is gunning for them. But what do you make of Clayton's first comments to the media since the start of spring training?
Yeah, I just heard that soundbite, Amy, and I was on that call this afternoon with Clayton Kershaw and the media on that first Zoom call of spring training. And it was good because he provided some clarity from that Los Angeles Times piece in which it was referenced in his answer to the question right there by one of our fellow media members who covers the Dodgers. His response in that LA Times piece when asked if he wanted to remain a Dodger beyond this season, the final year of his current contract, was, I don't know. And that had a lot of people here in Los Angeles who love Clayton Kershaw rightfully stunned and a little bit nervous, to be honest with you. And so for him to clarify that today and say, you know, that was a very good piece, but what I meant by I don't know was I'm going to take it year by year. Not that I don't want to pitch anymore and I'm looking to retire. He's, as you heard in the clip, he's 32 years old. He wants to keep going as long as his body is able to. But what if you combine what we read in that feature piece from the LA Times with what he said in that Zoom meeting today, press conference today, was that he's going to readjust with his wife, Ellen, and his family, who his daughter is now just starting kindergarten and going into school. His son is not far behind her. He is the coach of his daughter's little league team.
Aww.
So he's just beginning to be a dad in that Dallas area. And he hates, before when they were younger, they'd be able to go with him to Arizona in February and March and then move to their home in Los Angeles in April for the start of the season. And that was fine. But now they would likely remain in Dallas until May or June when their kids would be out of school and then join him in Los Angeles. And does he want to be away from his family for 3, possibly 4 months, extended periods of time? After this season, as his kids get older and start to go to school, does he want to miss things like coaching their teams and stuff? So that's going to be the interesting thing with him moving forward. He said he wants to take it year to year, which I think is interesting. But I think if he wants to be a lifelong Dodger, it's going to be up to him. And the only thing I could see possibly preventing that, because I know the Dodgers and their front office would be interested in that, is if he wants to stay close to home. And then all eyes at that point would be, would he pitch for another team like the Texas Rangers late in his career in order to be close to his family and allow them to stay in their schools and then everything they have in the Dallas area?
This may be sacrilegious because he's won 3 Cy Youngs, an MVP. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now he's got the ring. And he's only 32, which kind of blows me away considering what he's accomplished in his career. Reminds me a little bit of Sidney Crosby. You don't realize how young he is when you see his age because he's got so much mileage in terms of what he's done on the ice and for Clayton on the field. But do the Dodgers want him to pitch there for LA as long as he is pitching? Are they willing to take him as long as he wants to be around?
And that's the question. The short answer to that question is yes, but at what price? That's the caveat. And so, you know, they extended Clayton Kershaw. He's making a lot of money, obviously, right now. I believe the current salary figures is something along the lines of that extension, around $31, $32 million a year this year. So if he, you know, before last year's shortened 60-game season where he seemed to have a renaissance and a resurgence of sorts, he was a little bit on the downhill in the years prior. He finally, entering the 2020 season, decided to take a trip up to Driveline in Seattle, guys who the Dodgers are proponents of with their analytics and their sabermetrics and their weighted balls routine to get velocity up on pitchers who, you know, are over the age of 30. And so, is that going to continue is the question, because if he does start the natural progression of age, if father time does indeed catch up to Clayton Kershaw, you know, you said it, he's only 32 years old, but this will be his 14th season. That's an extreme veteran as far as baseball terms are. Clayton was lucky right. enough to come up at the age of 20, very young when he made his major league debut and started to make an impact on the Dodgers. So it's going to be at what price? The Dodgers would love to keep him, but they're also looking at that number, that $31, $32 million this year that I talked about, coming off the books, because they are going to have to try to re-sign guys like Corey Seager at the end of this year, who's a free agent, Cody Bellinger the year after that, Walker Buehler the year after that. There's going to have to be money allocated long-term when right now you're only kind of tied to Mookie Betts. and I guess Justin Turner for the next couple of years as well. So that's going to be the thing, at what price. And if Kershaw's willing to take it year by year and sign one-year deals with an opt-out after, I think that actually bodes well for the Dodgers and then being able to figure it out and work it out year by year.
Well, and it sounds like that's up his alley, because that's exactly what he said, is I'm just taking it year by year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Michael Duarte from NBC LA. Now, we transition from Clayton Kershaw, who's done so much for the LA sports scene and the Dodgers, to a LeBron James who's newer in LA, but is obviously an icon anywhere he goes. And this is a guy who had kind of groused about the early start to the NBA season, considering that they played so deep in the bubble, obviously played the most number of games, and he was not thrilled with the idea of starting on December 22nd. And yet, unless I missed one, he has not taken a game off. What happened to his load management?
Yeah, it turned out to be the Anthony Davis load management to start the season. And now even more of a load is going to be put on LeBron James's already large shoulders that is going to have to carry this team for the next 3 to 4 weeks without Anthony Davis. And then now without their starting point guard and Dennis Schroeder. So, yeah, for a guy who, as you mentioned, didn't like the short turnaround, wanted to start the season, you know, end of January or February, did not like that they added an all-star game here last minute after they had originally decided that they weren't going to play the all-star game. He was looking forward to having a week of rest. Now he doesn't get that. So now he's losing his partner in crime here in Anthony Davis for 4 weeks. And as I just checked, he's still top 20 in minutes, averaging 35 a game, top 20 in the NBA.
He's a machine.
At 36 years old in his 18th season. Yeah, but I can tell just by watching him these past few games without Anthony Davis, he's looking for that help to come somewhere. He's looking for that other guy. And as you just saw at the end of that Miami Heat game, he tried to get the ball in those final two possessions. He was doubled both times, kicking it out to a teammate for a wide-open three. They missed both of them, and they ended up losing that game. So I think he's going to look to see where he can get some help here with Anthony Davis and that ailing Achilles injury.
How long do we know for Davis? I thought 4 weeks, and then it seemed like they were kind of tweaking that. So do we expect him back after the All-Star break?
Well, it was announced right after the loss to the Brooklyn Nets, which was on Thursday here, so just a few days ago, that it would be 4 weeks from that timeline. Keep in mind, one of those weeks is supposed to be the All-Star game. So I would say we're looking at the end of March for Anthony Davis to come back. Now, LeBron is fine with that. I think the front office is fine with that. The team is fine with that. To them, it is all about health. It is not about securing the number one seed in the Western Conference. Obviously, that would be nice. They're looking at it like, right now, we don't have fans in most of the games. There's not fans at Staples Center, so the home court advantage might be gone. But who knows by the time, you know, the playoffs and the finals roll around what the world will look like and if fans are going to be allowed. But even if so, it would be a limited amount at that point. So they're not really looking at a huge home court advantage in these sold-out arenas. They're looking to make sure Anthony Davis is completely healthy. And as we know in recent history with Kevin Durant, in his postseason run, I believe in 2019, he had a similar injury with a rest with that strained calf muscle and the Achilles. Took a few weeks off, tried to rush back to the NBA Finals when the Warriors went down, ultimately ended up tearing it. So they have kid gloves right now on Anthony Davis. I will tell you this, if you look at the Lakers schedule coming up, when Anthony Davis took a break with that first Achilles strain, they were able to beat teams that they should beat, like the Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Grizzlies. Now you have a stretch of teams that are above 500 playoff teams in the West and East, and the Lakers could definitely fall in the Western Conference standings without Anthony Davis for the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Michael Duarte from Los Angeles, about 60 seconds. What are the plans moving forward in 21 for fans either at Staples Center or at Dodger Stadium, Anaheim, anywhere in the area? What have you heard?
Yeah, great question. So what we've heard right now is still no changes as far as the way it works with the Governor Newsom here in California and what he's allowed. So each county in California is given a color. And so if Los Angeles County was able to get to the orange tier, that would allow them to have 20% fans, whether it's Staples Center or even an outdoor venue like Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
For 20%, that's about 11,200. If they were able to move up to the yellow tier, they could have 25%. That would be about 14, 15,000 at Dodger Stadium. So that's still the colors we're looking at. Right now, Los Angeles is still in the purple tier, so we are not in those tiers yet. It would take some really fast vaccinations and people trying to stay home and slow this spread to get there by opening day for Dodger Stadium. I don't think with the way Staples Center is setting up, for the regular season at least, we'll see fans at Staples, possibly for the playoffs if we can get in those color tiers in L.A. County. But I know the Dodgers front office and the organization and politicians are really trying to see if they can get fans at Dodger Stadium for opening day. That might mean the governor tweaking those original tiers and allocations he set up to maybe let 10% in on opening day, which is on April 9th at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, that would be fantastic, considering they waited so long for a World Series. It'd be nice to even have a celebration with a few fans, because we know they can make a lot of noise, thinking back to fall, and I know that was Arlington, but a lot of Dodgers fans there. Michael Duarte with a great insight, an update on Clayton Kershaw, the Lakers as well. There's plenty going on, so make sure you follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte, D-U-A-R-T-E, with NBC LA. One of our favorites. Michael, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Always, always. And I hope your mom is safe there in the cold in Houston in Texas. So enjoy the rest of the show and tell her to stay warm for us.
I will do that. Thanks so much, Michael. Yeah, it's been quite a week for a lot of people in Houston, in Dallas, and those are not the only areas. Really, the state of Texas, very few parts of Texas left unaffected by the cold snap. And I know it was also Oklahoma, also same thing in places like Mississippi and Louisiana, and places that you normally would never expect snow or have to deal with those types of cold temperatures. So we're thinking about many of you as you are starting a new week. I hope there's some optimism, and it's a kind of a sailing forward now, thinking that can't happen again, right? That won't happen again. The worst is behind us. Meanwhile, I still have 2 feet of snow piled up in my front yard, and I have to leave my faucet dripping whenever I leave the house at night. 1 hour down, coming up, Lake Tahoe in all her glory, and Naomi and Novak win in Melbourne.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.